Blessed this morning. Amen. I count it another privilege to be able to be here and be able to stand behind this sacred desk and open up the Word of Life and just preach His Word. I enjoyed the Sunday school lesson today, and I know we from the Pentecostal interpretation of what the Scriptures say, I know it sometimes that's controversial, and I tell you, church, it's all about Him, and I sure don't preach the fact that everybody has to act like me or shout like me or speak in tongues like me, but you just have to be born again. Now, that's one we're going to have to agree on right there. We must be born again, and so therefore we have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If not, heaven will not be our destination. And I'll say this, that I firmly believe that the church we read about in Acts is a church today, and it's not a denomination. It's just folks that believe the Word of God and live by it and preach it and just believe it. I believe He's still alive and well, still in the miracle working business, and still empowers the church. If anything goes on that He's not the very most high part of it, then it's not God. It's not right. He's powerhouse. He's the driving engine of whatever goes on in our church world today. If it's not, then it's just man. And I tell you what, We're just a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. We don't have anything in us except the Lord empower us. But I'm glad today. Appreciate the Lord today. And again, it's good to have our visitors with us. And maybe your first time here, and maybe you've been here before. But we're glad you're here. Be looking up 1 Peter chapter 5. And I looked back through some old notes, and this come on my heart last week. And before this Sunday morning service, and I know some of you here may have heard preached along these lines before, and I've heard them preach about this and some wonderful ministers that God inspired along these lines. But I'm gonna go and preach as the Lord empowers me to preach, and hopefully that there'll be something said that'll help you. And I can tell you right now, it's going to be the word, as you're finding 1 Peter chapter 5. A dear friend of mine is going to be the Lord. He was an amazing preacher, led of the Spirit of God, and just loved Him. And he'd preach, and he would preach a long time when he preached. And got up there in a prayer line, and somebody come up there and said they just wanted to hear a word from the Lord. And he said, "Where have you been the last 45 minutes or an hour, however long you preached?" Said, "You've heard the word from the Lord the last 45 minutes or an hour." So some people want something easy. But sometimes, church, we just got to get on our knees. I say sometimes, all the time, we're just going to need to fall on our face before God and pray that He revealed to us. And we can receive things from God today, and I am glad for that this morning, aren't you? 1 Peter chapter 5, you got that found? Stand with me. Just read a short scripture here. We probably could quote it. But we preached along these lines, I'm sure, before. You've heard these scriptures. Verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Let's pray. Father, today, thank you for this service. Lord, thank you for our Sunday school lessons today, Lord. We just praise you, Lord, for the prayers that you're answering in this house, Lord, as we still bring it before your throne, Lord, these needs in our little church. And Father, right now, as I come today, Lord, I just ask that you would anoint me to say what you want said. You know what we need to hear today, as lives be touched this morning, Lord. We pray by your sweet Holy Spirit touching lives here today. Anoint me to say what you want said today. One that doesn't know you today, Lord, or walking astray, speak to the hearts, Lord. We pray this morning during this service. And Lord, we'll honor you for it and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen this morning. Amen. Let's give another Lord another clap of praise this morning. I appreciate that. Thanking Him today. Amen. I guess if I had a title tonight, this morning I would say something along this line, Supper for the Lions. And my dad, I'll tell you a little illustration before I get into this lion business here. My dad, several years ago, here a while back, we built a house there. And I've got a little shed out there behind the house. And I was out there one day. Me and William and I were I guess it was playing ball. And I was sitting there by the door and playing catch. And, And I quit that here a few years back after I got hit about, what, three times, son, I think is what it was. So I quit that playing catch. And so in other words, I'm not much of a baseball player. But I was there, and they're playing there at the door in that shop. And we got done was playing ball. And I go just a few minutes after that, open the door, and right behind the door was a copperhead. I'd been sitting there playing catch right there, you know, in front of that door. And, you know, Dad has some pretty profound statements, and he understands real things there. And I think I got Brother Paul to come help me kill that snake, you know. How many like snakes? I won't look around. I think if we have a love for snakes, we need to, well, anyway. The best snake I know of is one that needs to be dead. Oh, but there's good snakes out there. Well, I'm not arguing that point. But anyway, and Dad made a point to me about that situation in my shed there. And he said, son, you've made a place for them to dwell. He said, you've got junk piled in there. You've got lumber piled in there. And you couldn't walk in the place. He said, you've made a place they want to go there. Listen to me now. And I began to think about that. And you know what? I had made a habitation for copperheads. And Dad, he said, son, clean this stuff around here. Get these leaves out of here. You need to get this stuff cleaned up around here. And they won't want to come there. Now, you just stop and think about this. And I've killed a few snakes over there. And the ones that I have killed out and about, like in my yard, they wasn't there to stay. They were just passing through. Come on now. I like to keep the grass down low where I can see what's there. I like to be able, and things grow up. You know, they get in the places where it's kind of grown up and where they can stay there and kind of hide a little bit. Y'all still preaching with me? And you know, those snakes that come across, you know, those that come across the road, I'll nearly drive across in the other lane to run over a snake crossing the road. I hate them. I'll preach it again. Dead snake's a good snake. And I looked at that, and I began to think about this week, you know. And that's what I had done. Like I said, I preached on this before. But I'd made a place that those things want to go. Can I tell you right now, with sadness in my heart, there's still some habitation in that shed for those snakes. I was mentioning to the wife, I've been needing to get out there, and I need to do some digging out there. And you know what? I will most likely, a high percentage chance, I will probably find a snake down in under some of that stuff. You know why? Because that's an area that has been set up, and that's where they want to go. Remember this, when things are clean, when things have been mowed off, and there's not a bunch of junk piled around, those snakes are not finding a place to stay. They're simply going to another place where they can dwell. Go home with that. Think about it. So when we keep that yard cleaned up and we keep things lined out there and slicked up, they will just be passing through, Brother Mike. They won't be staying there. You won't go out there and find them laying out there in the middle of the yard. Come on now. Going somewhere with this. Amen. Supper for the lions. Folks, we just read to you that what happens is there is a roaring lion. There's an enemy of our soul out there. And folks, he is out there seeking whom he may devour. How many knows that this morning? If he can destroy your home, he'll destroy your home. If he can get a grip on your mind and get your mind so scattered that you can't serve God, he'll attack your mind. Amen. Sometimes God allows the things to come down around us, and maybe the devil attacks our family, attacks our home, and maybe our health is under attack. But I'm here to tell you right now that I'm serving a God that is above and greater than anything around in this world. Supper for the lions. What happens is we begin, if we're not cautious, folks, just the way I have been making. I'm going to read one scripture in Revelation chapter 3. You can find that, just one quick scripture there. But what happens is in our life, we begin to make some habitation for the enemy of our soul if we're not cautious. We begin to make a place that he wants to not just pass by, he wants to come by and stay there. Y'all still preaching with me? Praise God. Praise God. The first section that we do, we begin to prepare supper for the lion. I'm talking about the devourer of our soul. We begin to find there's one thing begins to happen in your life. The fire begins to burn out. There begins to be a deterioration of your walk with God. There begins to be a place in your life. In Revelations 3:3, he said, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee and as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come unto thee. When the fire begins to burn out and begins to dwindle away in our hearts, and be looking up Ephesians 4 here. I'll go over there just real quick. And I'll touch on the fire. Somebody said, Sister Marty said in our lesson today that we are to be excited about the Lord. There ought to be a passion about serving God. If anybody ought to be excited, it ought to be you and I that are born again, blood-bought, child of the King. If there anybody should be shouting the victory and should be having a smile in the middle of a terrible time in your life, it ought to be you and it ought to be me. When the world begins to cave in on you, when it seemed like the floodwaters are raising, if anybody should be able to smile and raise their hands, it ought to be us. Praise God. We see this young lady on the front row got faith and in God going through some things in life, but you can see and you can tell when you get around her, she's got faith that's going to move mountains. Amen. Is there going to be some trying times? Sure there will. But there are going to be some times in her life that she knows that God is with her. But the fire begins to dwindle. The fire begins to go out. And therefore it's a good place. You're preparing a supper for the lion to come by and eat at your house. Just like I prepared an atmosphere. Keep in mind what I've set up today to start this message off. Preparing a habitation, preparing a place that the snakes want to get to. I'm still preaching. I got about four sections here. I'm preaching on four different things that makes the devil, the roaring lion, want to come by and have supper with you. When the fire begins to burn out, when it used to be a desire for you to go to the house of God, when it used to be the first thing on your list was when church started, and it begins to be the last thing on your list, I can tell you, brother, and I can tell you, sister, the fire is beginning to go out. Things that you used to not say and places you used to not go, you begin to figure and maybe think it's okay to go those places. Can I tell you one more time? You're making a supper. You're preparing a meal that lion's going to come by and have supper with you. He won't come after you. Go back again. The snake doesn't dwell in the yard that's clean. The snake doesn't stay out there in your driveway for very long a time. He's going to be moving on out, folks. And we're going to have to realize one thing. We're going to have to make, I can't get ahead of myself, making a habitation, preparing a supper for the lion. And he's going to like to eat those things. The enemy of our soul likes to be around a child of the King that's put God on the back burner. Y'all still preaching with me? He likes to be around. He realizes there's some food there that he can be in a place that he can come by and realize that lamb there, that lamb of the God is there, is in a weak and vulnerable position because God's not at the top of our list. You're frying it up and you're stirring up a good meal for him. When you begin to allow things like that, it's hard for me not to entangle different things. But in chapter 4 of Ephesians. Let's read that. Y'all feel like shout with me? We'll shout when we get this with God. Amen. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Here's what's going to happen, folks. We cannot give place to the devil. We cannot allow him and give him room to come in. You know why? As I said, the reason I keep the grass mowed down, the reason I keep things cleaned up is so I can see him when I'm out there. You know what I think about a lot of times when I go out at night? I begin to think. The first thing, one of the first things I think about when I go out in the dark around the house, it goes back to my remembrance when we moved over to the house, and it goes back to my remembrance when it was dusky dark, and I was doing some dirt work there around the house for the night, and I remember it was just barely light, and it just so happened there was still some clay dirt there, and it was in the late part of August, the dog days was going on there, and that snake no doubt was heading to my shop. Come on, preach with me. He knew a good place to go. And there was just barely enough light in that. Thank God for that clay. I saw that copperhead out there. You know what happens, church, is when we begin to wander away from God, we begin to get in a place and give place to the enemy of our soul. It begins to put him in a position of strength. It begins to put this lion in a Christ position. And he begins to realize, I've got some opportunity here to jump on somebody. Amen. Preach with me a while. He realizes that there's a place there. When you get away from the light, you get away from where God said. When I go, like I said, the first thing I remember when I get out there is I remember that night when I saw that copperhead and killed that copperhead at dark. You with me? Preparing the devil a supper. You're going to go back, and here's what happens. You know, realize that this, the enemy of our soul, works on our mind too. And the first thing you do, you begin to fall. You begin to back up. Things begin to happen. He begins to talk to you and counsel with you, the enemy of your soul does, and begins to tell you how you can't. But folks, it's time you and I begin to speak back the word of God and say, I can, through the blood of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can and I will be an overcomer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't you fix him no supper and say, come by and eat with me. Don't give place to the devil. Don't allow him to come in. You see, I'm probably way overboard. I'm probably too ultra conservative. But I tell you what I'll do one day. I'll step over in the glory and he'll say, boy, you was awful conservative, preacher. And if you're too liberal and say, well, I think I can get by with this. I think I can do that. It could be depart from me. I never knew you. Preach with me a while. I'm talking about making a place the devil wants to come by. I'm talking about preparing him a place. He said, don't give place to the devil. In 22nd verse of Ephesians 4, he said, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in spirit, in the spirit of your mind. That is critical. Amen. That's why Paul said, I die daily. This is not a one trip to the altar. Shake the preacher's hand, sign the book, and let the Lord shake you over and everything's okay. This is a daily walk with God. If you're not communicating with God on a daily basis, you will be preparing a meal for the adversary to come by and say, I'm going to have supper with you. Amen. If you're not careful, you'll be sitting right there with him and realize that he's abiding with you. Come on, preach with me. Amen. Realize that this church, we cannot. We must be renewed. In verse 24, he said that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away, can I just hit true holiness in a minute, just for a second there? Let me tell you something, church. True holiness is not what you dress with. You put on the fine suit, you put on a nice dress, it's not making you holy till you get your heart right with God. Just thought I'd throw that in, no charge. Hallelujah. Can't put this on, you can't buy it, you're going to have to surrender to God. Holiness is an upright walk with God. When you make a mistake, you get right with God. When things come around you and this goes on and that goes on, that's getting back right with God. Amen. Listen, say, hey, devil, this ain't no supper for you. Get on out of here, buddy. You're not welcome here. Praise God. He said, listen here. In verse 25, he said, wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. That's a tough one right there, isn't it? Praise God. Amen. We could probably preach an hour on that. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Here's the place. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Don't give him room. Don't fry him up no taters and say, come by. Don't allow yourself to get in a place that you know. Folks, I tell you, the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost power lets you know when things are wrong. You'll know when you're not doing what you ought to be doing. There'll be something not feel right about that. Your comfort, you won't be comfortable. You'll feel like your skin's crawling. You'll have a tear come out of your eye. You'll know that God is wanting you out of that place. Woo, praise God. Feel like shouting here this morning. We're going to have to quit preparing supper for the lions and begin to let God be God. What happens now, preacher? Well, I'll tell you where else they like to eat. They like to eat where the stragglers roam. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. He said, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Praise God. Pray. I just might as well read on. This is in Hebrews chapter 10. I might as well read on here. It said, not forsaking the assembling together of ourselves. Come on, preach with me a while. How do you assemble together? I believe that's on a Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. Y'all still preaching with me? I believe Sister Marty made a comment. I'm sure folks can maybe possibly live at home and make it okay with God. But why would you not want to receive blessings at the church house? Well, preacher, all those hypocrites are there and all those folks that do this on Sunday and do that on Monday. That's okay. They're going to be there. They're there when Jesus was here. Don't worry about them. Worry about yourself. I didn't come here to serve the hypocrites. I come here to serve God. Now, I'm not sitting there saying anybody's a hypocrite, but I've heard that said before. Amen. So what's that mean to us? Just camp it here just for a minute. That means that when you and I, as Christians, we need to guard what we say and what we do when we're out in this world. Amen. If we need to go overboard for Jesus, we ought to be that way. If you think it looks bad, then I say don't do it. Why did Paul say to the Thessalonians to abstain from the very appearance of evil? That means, if I'll interpret that for you, if it looked bad, run from it. Young people, if it looks bad, get away from it. If it ties in with the world and the things of the world, get out of it and get away from it. Now, I tell you, there's no two ways. There's not bitter and sweet water coming out of the same stream. I'd rather somebody look at me just for the way I look or the way I act and know I'm a Christian by what I'm doing. But listen, it goes farther than that. But I want to tell you this also. I'm not going to challenge God, if I can help it, with the innermost part of my being, to do things and act a way and dress a way that somebody's going to say, I wonder about them. Preaching good now, ain't I? Stragglers being drawn away. That's a meal right there. That's a place right there that the devil, the lion's going to come by. He's going to lick his chomps. And when he sees you drawn away from the God, when he sees you being distracted, I might as well hit this while I'm here. If we're not cautious, there'll be things hinder us from serving God. Folks, I can tell you right now, you and I ought to let nothing hinder us from serving God. I'm certainly not going to let what you say or you do hinder me. Come on, preach a while with me. Hey, man, listen, we're going to be careful. Well, the preacher said this. If you're going to allow the preacher, hey, man, what it said, because I can tell you, this man right here behind the pulpit, what color shirt is this? Kind of a pukey yellow? Y'all didn't think I'd say pukey, did you? It's a yeah. Listen, I'm as human as you are. I am subject to fall just like you are. But I like to flip that coin around real quick. I'm just as subject to be empowered by the Holy Ghost as Paul was. I'm just as subject to be empowered as Peter and Paul and Silas was. Y'all still preaching with me? Praise God. Listen, what are you saying, preacher? I'm here to tell you right now, no man but one man was perfect. That was Jesus. He died, went back to heaven. He's interceding. He said, I'll send back the Comforter. The power of the Holy Ghost is dwelling inside of me. I've got the authority today, and I've got the power through him. But we're going to have to be cautious and not allow ourselves to be drawn away. One lion is easier to kill than 20. One lamb is easier to kill than 20. Y'all with me? You fix him a supper when you're drawn away and you're roaming. You're saying, come on by, devil. Have supper with me. I've got this and I've got that. He said, forsake not to assemble together yourself. Listen. As the manner of some is, but extort one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. Oh my, that's some good preaching right there in that one scripture. Well, I ain't going to go. Well, go there and exhort somebody. Go lift somebody up. Go pray for somebody. Go be what God wants you to be, and you'll be all right. Don't look for glory. Don't look for man to pat us on the back, but look for God to exalt us when he does it. The roaming, the straggler. Here's the next one. I got to go ahead and read this. I didn't have this down. Verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for our sins. I got the grace card, preacher. I'm playing this grace card. Lord, remember grace. I'm going to do this, but I've had people tell me this. They're going to sin and then ask the Lord to forgive them. That's a willful sin. That's saying, Lord, I'm just going to take your blood when I need it. I'm just going to use your grace like a donut spare tire in the back of my trunk. And when I have a little flat, then I'm going to pull it out and slap it on. How many likes them kind of spares? You need the tires that's on your car fixed. You don't need to use some other means to get to where you're going. You don't have to deteriorate and move off and wander this way and say, well, because of grace, I can do this. No, because of grace, you have the ability to get back to God. It's not that he's given you a license or me a license. Now, my wife will tell you, she's got a license to take care of me and line me up. And I'll tell you this, we got pictures of that. Holding that thing. Marriage license. I'm here to tell you right now, church, as a church body, as a church, as an individual person, you and I don't have the written agreement to do what we want to do. He said, when you come to the knowledge of the Lord, when let's interpret this in Arkansas term, when you know who Jesus is, it puts you in a different state. It puts you in a different place, boys and girls. It puts us and puts me and it puts you in a place that we are accountable for everything we say. Come on now. We are accountable and we say, well, I'm going to do this. It must not be too much of a sin. If you have to think about it, I say run from it. The stragglers is a meal for the lion. The ones that are distracted out there, Sister Geneva, those that are pulled away. And I can tell you right now, we are pulled away because of our own lust. We're distracted because of those things. Willful sinning. You're going to have to quote that. If you're going to read that one, you must be certain and read another scripture in Hebrews. I believe it is. No, it's in Romans. Verse 1 in chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? That doesn't take a scholar to figure that one out, does it? We got to realize because of grace, we're here. We don't use him and abuse him. I love him. I don't know about you. How many loves the Lord? The meal is set before the lions, and the adversary of our world is when you get away from God. Straggler, out on your own, going away, forsaken. James 3 and 16. Y'all still love the Lord this morning? James 3 and 16 says this. For where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You might ought to mark this scripture down and go back and read over that. Quite often. Another meal for the lion is discord, disagreement. When disagreement's going on, discord's going on, you have got a feast prepared for the lion. Now, I know we're human, and I know we're going to have issues. I had somebody come out here when we were building the church. Thank God he delivered us from that. Preach with me. So blessed is what we are. And he come out here and complaining about, I don't think he give any names or anything, but complaining about some of the people, want this, want that, want this, want that. Yeah. He just all, yeah. Just people. You know, just a scowl on his face, people, you know. And I listened to him whine a few minutes. And I said, hang on just a minute. I said, first of all, I'm in food service, and I've got customers I deal with daily, somewhere 45, 50 customers that I deal with daily. And then you tack on that, I've got people that I deal with in the church you know, congregation, the church. So don't come whining to me about people. I don't want to hear it. I said, you got to get past people. You, because you know what will happen? Can I just hurt you real bad here? It hurts me too. You know what happens when you get critical of somebody? You just think about this and go home and chew on it. When you get critical of somebody, what they've done or what they've said, and I've been there, and it's come home to me hard. And what you'll do, you'll come around about a month or 2 weeks or sometimes in an hour, you'll figure out something and God will bring it to your attention. You've done something exactly like they've done or worse. Shout with me now. I'm preaching truth. Discord will absolutely apply a meal. A feast is spread for the enemy of our soul when we have discord going on. Now, I'm thankful. I've been so blessed. And you know, I'm not preaching that we got discord going on in the church. But I can tell you right now, that is a meal that the enemy of your soul wants you to come eat at. He would like to have strife. And listen, it's going to have to be not about me, but about him. There's times you and I just have to bite our tongue, swallow, and just go on. Preach with me. There are just times you got to say, well, that's in your hands, God, and I'm not worried about it. Amen. You're preparing a meal for him when you're upset about this and upset about that, mad about this and mad about that. If you're not careful, I'll go over and hit Mark 11:23 and preach about forgiveness. You want to be forgiven? Start at your house. Forgive. Forgive. That's not a multiple choice. That's not if you want to. That is a command. If you want to be forgiven, you and I have got to forgive. Go back again. You find that happening. I've been there. I mean, it come back to me several times. I'd say, man, how'd that preacher do that? And turn around, and next thing you know, I think, Lord, have mercy. Help me. Brother Gary was preaching one Sunday morning. And he was anointed. He was preaching about things that were distracting us. I think the voice of the shepherd, and he was talking about these people, you know, being hooked, being tied up with watching TV and so on and so forth, and things distracting them and affecting their voice. I don't know if he remembers that, but I was sitting there on the seat thinking, wow, that ain't hitting me at all. Y'all done that? Y'all may do that this morning. I don't know. I said, I thought, man, that ain't hitting me. I'm not, man, I ain't had time to watch no TV. I'm not hooked up on none of that stuff. None of that's going on. And my Lord, before he got done preaching, you talk about Holy Ghost coming down. We've been in the middle of building a house. He said, how much time you been spending with me while you're out there cleaning up? Amen. Doesn't take long for it to come home, does it? Doesn't take long. What happens? That really doesn't have anything to do with discord. I just throw that in there. Amen. Discord and disagreement is going to put you in a place. Now, let's just take it one more quick step. I'm just going to get it out here in the home. If there's discord and disagreement in your wife and in your husband, two amens is okay. It's still true. It's all right. I don't preach for your amens. I preach for the approval of my Heavenly Father. Whew. Hallelujah. Tear the page out of the Bible, it's still there. We're going to have some peace. We're going to have some joy. We're going to have some agreement. And if there's not agreement there, I will say this. And I understand things happen. I totally understand. And I'm not preaching on second marriages or so on and so forth, but I am preaching on this right here today. I'm going to tell you, the church world today, if we would get down to God and pray through, the amount of divorces would fall. Amen. Get right with God and you'll find out something. Things will get better at home. Woo, preaching real good now. Discord will cause friction. It'll affect your relationship with God. It'll affect you and what you're doing. When you've got discord at home, you are preparing a place for the devil to come by. Then one thing happens, the next thing happens, the next thing happens. The next thing you know, you've got a mountain going on there and you can't get over it. Whew. Don't fix him no supper. Don't make it no place. Don't make him a place of habitation. Get to yard mode and get the rocks picked up. Burn the trash and get it out of there. That way when somebody drives up, they'll know you mow your yard. And just don't look behind the house, okay? And don't open the doors of the shop. I've got it where I can walk in there now. I'm gaining ground. I'm getting better. But folks, we're going to have to realize this. We are absolutely making the place for the line to come by when we have discord. We're just saying, come on. Can I tell you this? The alcoholic with the first drink did not set out to be an alcoholic. The drug addict took the first hit. It was just for social fun. It was just because all the kids were doing it. Just because everybody was there. Just for the fun of it. Did not set out to be hooked on that stuff. What happens is, preacher, sin begins to grow. Begins to abound. Where sin is abounding. Iniquity abounds. It's what puts things in our life. Last thing in Hebrews 2. Simply this. If you want to set a place, a table, and a plate for the lion to eat at your house, here's one thing you can do. I don't advise it, but I've seen it happen. I can tell you an example in the last 2 or 3 years of this very thing. Simply disobeying the Word of God. Just not doing what the Word said. Just absolutely. I can tell you right now, and don't ask me who, a family, counseled with them, brought out right out in front most of what was going on there. Going to go to church, going to be there. Was there the next Sunday morning, conviction power gripped their lives. Y'all still preaching with me? Gripped their lives, and I could see it. Sometimes you can see conviction. Y'all ever noticed that? Sometimes I can look back there and tell, man, God, Holy Ghost got a hold of you. That's when you want to surrender. And Brother Gary, I seen this happen, and it was going on there, and the conviction was going on, and they was there in this service one the next Sunday morning. Got up out of that door, out of this church house, and walked out of here. Now, they didn't turn their back on me. They turned their back on God. They didn't offend me. It's not offensive to me to preach the Word, and everybody said, that ain't nothing. That don't offend me. I just don't want to offend my Heavenly Father. Amen. They walked out of here, and I can tell you right now, without going into details, that very sin that got them there in that counseling, that very sin destroyed them. You know why? Disobedience. When the Holy Ghost begins to deal with you, that's not my fine preaching, because I'm not a fine preacher. That's not my eloquent words. That's the almighty power of God dealing with your heart, because you need Him to. Because He knows when you've got a prepared place for the enemy to habitate around your place. He knows when you're walking away from Him. He knows when your thoughts are not where they should be. He knows when you're preparing places that the devil likes to stay at. And He begins to talk with you and draw you and say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Hebrews 2. I preached on this, I think, last Sunday or Sunday before last. In verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which is at the first begin to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. Choosing to walk away. Come get us a song. I'm going to close. I've given you what I feel like the Lord wanted me to give you this morning. As they're coming, I'm going to have one more scripture before we give the altar call. I've told you this morning, as I believe God directed me to tell you, is absolutely this. We have got to realize that we are very often setting the table for the supper of the lion to come by our house. And he may come by and say, man, that looks like a good meal right there. The habitation that we set, the atmosphere that we set around our house, in our minds, in our hearts, that atmosphere must have God in it. Very familiar scripture in Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. That His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, or for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, for destruction that wasteth at noon. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Listen, verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Whew. Stand with me. What's that mean, preacher? That means that you and I can put ourselves in the place that He will dwell around us. And I can tell you right now, that lion doesn't want to be around the power of God. That lion cannot handle what God is doing. He's in warfare right now for your soul. Does that mean, preacher, that I just can't get there? That simply means this. Those that dwell under the shadow of the Almighty, that's where you and I must be. Father, right now, as we come to you, Lord, I recognize your authority in this house, God. I know that you're talking to hearts in this place. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Lord, I pray right now, bring them in. Touching lives here today. Transforming, Lord. Changing lives here this morning. Lord, strengthen the church body as we lift your name above all names. Touching lives here this morning, Lord Jesus. In your name, Lord, we praise you.